Welcome to the Strong Enough Podcast, your relationship wellness podcast. I'm your host, Claudia. Today's guest is going to share with us how he went from facing prison at the age of 17 to joining the Army and to becoming a coach to help other people live a life they don't need a vacation from. Please help me in welcoming Javon Wooden. Javon, how are you doing today? It's so great to have you here.
I am doing fantastic, Claudia. Thank you for having me on this platform.
Absolutely. I was so excited that you agreed to do this with me. Now, I know that people will hear this later, but I do want to go ahead and say happy Veterans Day to you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much for the support, and happy Veterans Day to all those who have served and who are serving now.
Absolutely. So, Javon, why don't we start? I know a little bit about you, but for the people who don't, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, I am Javon Wooden. I'm a mindset and perception coach, founder of a company called Live Not Loathe, where we focus on helping people design a life they don't need a vacation from. I'm also an author. I have a new book out titled Own Your Kingdom, and I'm a speaker as well.
You got some big stuff going on that we need to talk about for sure, because I did not know about the book. So I'm excited about that. Before we get to the book, though, tell me a little bit about what brought you to wanting to be a coach and help other people. And I love how you put that, to live a life that they don't need a vacation from.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So there's a few things that brought me to becoming a coach. One of the most recent ones was this day, right? Veterans Day of 2016. So I was serving in Afghanistan at Bagram Airfield, and there was a suicide bomber there who detonated during the Veterans Day run. By the grace of God, there were some brave men and women who sacrificed their lives in order to save the greater population, right? So with that, you know, there was many challenges. I was about 150 feet away or so from the detonation. I was having other challenges, right? I was fine for a while. And then like in 2017, when I returned home, I really was struggling, right? I really was going through a deep depression, I just knew something wasn't right, right? So fast forward, you know, I had started the company really while I was there. I just got the name and started going through coaching and all that other stuff. You know, I was excited. I was hyped. But I had to take a step back because my mind and my perception was not right. So I went through therapy. I went through got my own coach and did all those other things. And it just reaffirmed how powerful this stuff is. Right. You know, a lot of people say, man, mindset, you know, that goes into everything. Right. I'm like, yes, but, you know, mindset encompasses so much. Right. It's not just like you wake up and you think, oh, I'm going to do this today. It doesn't work like that, because you actually have to truly believe that you can, that it's meant for you. Right. And I didn't believe that for a long time in my life. Right. Going all the way back to my childhood. I just didn't believe it. So that really made me want to become a mindset perception coach and help other people, you know, get that self doubt off of them, you know, increase their self-esteem, really be confident in the fact that they are meant to live a life of abundance.
Talk to me a little bit about therapy, in that as a man, sometimes it's very difficult to say, I need therapy, and then to actually go and get therapy. So did you have any of those feelings at all that, oh gosh, I can't ask for help?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, you know, talk about going through the majority of life with trauma and having things and not knowing why you react to certain things or things trigger you, right? For the majority of, until 2017. 2017 was when I went to therapy. Right. Because all that time before, I'm like, man, I'm good. I can get through this. Because as a man, most of us, we're told to like suck it up. You know, ain't nothing wrong with you. Right. Push through, you know, putting in the military, say drive on. Right. Drive on. You know, if you're hurt, you're still here. Right. Drive on. Like push through it. Take your ibuprofen and drink your water. Right. Whatever the case may be. So, you know, it got to a point where I was like, you know, having suicidal ideations and everything. So I was like, hey, I have to do something. right? So that was my reason for going to therapy. I had called my sister one day, and I was laying on the couch just bawling. I couldn't even get words out. I'm just talking to her, telling her how I'm sorry I couldn't do this and that, and how I wasn't there for my nephew, all types of stuff. It wasn't true, right? It wasn't true, but I made these things up in my mind because I was really trying to rationalize why, you know, I felt that way, right? Or that why I didn't deserve to live, or why I didn't deserve anything good in my life, you know? So therapy was key. Like I really recommend that everyone actually try therapy, right? Even if you feel like nothing's wrong, just go for a couple of sessions, right? Sometimes you're surprised what comes up, and then you're surprised on how it unlocks you and frees you to really achieve your peak.
I completely agree with you. I always say, I think everybody needs therapy at some point in their life, right? Because I agree with you. We all have things that we might even not realize that are tucked away. You mentioned trauma and triggers from early on. Will mm-hmm. you talk a little bit about what you experienced that was traumatic for you growing up, and how that caused triggers for you that you had as an adult?
Sure. I mean, I guess trauma was a everyday part of life, you know, coming up. I grew up in Rochester, New York, a very poor city, right, in the inner city. And, you know, every day, you know, one, I didn't grow up like traditional, right? I grew up, my mother, it was pretty much a polygamous household. You know, she was wife too, right? Technically, she wasn't married, but that's how it was. So that was traumatic in the sense that I didn't really know love, right? I didn't understand how that dynamic really worked, right? How do I love a woman, right? I was never shown that truly, right? Because it was more like a business transaction, right? Also, I was arrested at 17, right? I was arrested for an assault and robbery charge at 17 years old. I faced 7 years in prison, tried as an adult. So going through that was very traumatic for me. I didn't know it because I thought like, hey, whatever. I didn't care at the time. Again, I didn't know that I was deserving of so much more in my life. But what stuck out in my mind during that time was when my mom and my sister came to visit me, right? They came to visit me and they were seated on the other side of the glass and I couldn't touch them. I couldn't hug them. I couldn't do any of that. Like that was taken away. So, and that was everything. My family was everything to me, right? That's why I was trying to make a way. And I went back to the cell and asked God, you know, to put me here where I am today, right? And then, you know, along the way, of course, there's other traumatic events. I told you about the Air Force bombing. Some other things transpired during the military career. But to be quite frank, and people ask me, like, why? I really wouldn't change a thing. Of course, I would bring the people who lost their lives back in Bagram. You know, I would change that part. But everything that's happened to me specifically, I wouldn't change it because all those steps really helped me become where I am today. I would not have found coaching to be able to serve others in this capacity if it wasn't for every single thing that I had to go through to fortify my mind and my spirit.
I feel the same way. You know, some of the things that we've gone through aren't, you know, you wouldn't wish them on anybody, and right. You wouldn't even wish them on yourself. But having gone through it, it brings you to another place, or the place that you're supposed to be.
Right. Exactly. 100%. And it's like you appreciate it when you get there. Mm-hmm. You have those moments of clarity. You're just like, oh, you know, it just opens up and like you see the sun. You're like, wow. You know, this is what it looks like, right?
Now like, I get it.
So, yeah, exactly. 100%. Mm-hmm. So that's how I feel. And that's the, you know, that's really that was a catalyst on why I became what I am.
So you talked about religion and you talked about, you know, going back to the cell and asking God for something different or where you are now, essentially. Did you grow up Mormon?
No, actually, I grew up Muslim. So my mom is Muslim, and I grew up, I actually went to a Islamic school, kind of like a Catholic school, mm-hmm. Islamic school. So we prayed while in school. We, you know, we fasted, gave charity, all those things that you think of when you think of a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So you've had a lot of different religions and religious experiences growing up and in your life.
Right, right. And I actually credit that to a lot of things because that's still the base of my spirituality, right? Just believing that way because Islam's, you know, it gets a bad rap because of the radicalism, right? Mm-hmm. The radical side that we see. But that's not Islam, right? Islam is really a peaceful religion, and it's a one about understanding, and it's one about care and compassion. And that really serves me to this day. I don't practice, but that is a lot of who I am.
That is so interesting that you kind of, your mom was in a polygamous relationship. You grew up Muslim. Mm-hmm. So you're not practicing now, but you're still very spiritual. Right. Is the reason that you're not a practicing any type of religion, does that have to do with growing up and some of the chaos you experienced? Or is that just where you are today in life?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, some of what I experienced really opened me up to being willing to accept so much more from any religion. Right. I've studied Buddhism. I've studied Islam, Christianity, Confucianism, all those things. And what I really noticed was the path to getting back to heaven or whatever you want to call it. Right. All was really the same thing. Right. It was all about being a compassionate individual and helping others in any way that you can. Right. And it never says you can't live a life of abundance, but it says with that abundance, serve others. Right. And that's really what I want to do.
I love hearing that because I went through like my own spiritual journey. About 6 years ago, I did this religious deep dive and studied every religion that I could find. And I ended up Quaker, is what I identify as now, which is really interesting because I actually went to a Quaker college when I was younger. And so it's kind of full circle.
Right. I was just about to say that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Because at the time I was like, what? I mean, Quakers is oatmeal and like the little guy. I don't know. He wears the hat. That's great. So I find it very interesting that you kind of went through a similar journey and, right. and did all that research and studying. And what else did that teach you about religion or about the differences or similarities in religions?
Oh, yeah. You know, it really taught me there's a lot of similarities, like the foundations, like what it really represents. There's a lot of similarities. But it also showed me that the differences really are, it's not all that different. Right. You know, a lot of times we make the chasm larger than we want. We need to. Right. Because everyone wants to be right. Everyone wants to say, hey, my way is the best way. And so to speak. And it's really not about that. Right. If we look at and we strip all the man-made stuff away from the religion. Right. It's really about the essence of what it teaches you. Right. No religion teaches you to hate. You know, no religion teaches you to hate. No religion teaches you that difference is bad. You know, no religion teaches you that you should mistreat any person for anything, like just because they're, you know, not in the same social class as you, just because they don't look like you, just because they don't act like you want them to act, right? You still are supposed to treat everyone and everything, right, with respect. And that's really what I gathered out of that.
That's awesome. I love that. And I think in addition to therapy, everyone should do a generalized religious deep dive. Yeah. and do all that different studying.
For sure.
So let's go back to jail. You wanted to change. You know, it sounds like you got there and it wasn't where obviously you were meant to be. Mm-hmm. What gave you that moment to say, like, this is not right. This is not me. I want to be different. I want to move forward on a different path.
Yeah. I mean, really what it was, you know, prior to getting arrested, you know, I didn't think I had any resources. I just felt like I was a poor kid, wasn't worth anything. You know, my family, we had, you know, this house that was falling apart. You know, we would lights would go out for no reason. We're using like kerosene lamps to heat ourselves, like back in the day, bundling up in covers, whatever the case may be. And I'm like, this cannot be life, right? This cannot mm-hmm. be life. And when I got locked up, you know, I was like, I was already going down a path. And I feel like God was like, hey, I'm going to take you off these streets for a while. And I'm going to let you sit with yourself. And then I'm going to bring your mom and your sister in to show you what you're going to be missing and all the hurt that you're causing by going down this path. Mm-hmm. So when I got out and I promised him while I was in my cell, like I said, I'll be the servant that I'm destined to be, that you told me I should be. But I need help. I don't have any resources. And he told me I have all the resources I need. Right. But it's up to me to find out what those are. So when I got out, fast forward, tried college, couldn't afford it. So I had to drop out and come back home, so on and so forth. So I went to the military at 22, and going to like basic and the AIT was just where you learn your job for the mm-hmm. Army. I met so many people from so many different walks of life. When you're in your environment, you don't know the other world. Mm-hmm. You don't even recognize that another world exists. You may read about it. You may hear about it, whatever. But if you never stepped outside your neighborhoods or your city, you really don't understand what that means. Right. So I went and I met all these different people, Alabama, Guam, you know, Fiji, everywhere. They were from everywhere. And I was like, what? What? There's people here like this is crazy. This is foreign to me. So it really opened my eyes. So when I got back, I'm like, you know what? I'm traveling. I'm going to travel. I'm going to move from Rochester, New York, right? I'm going to get out of this environment because it's really bringing me down and holding me back. And I saved my money from basic and AIT, and it really moved me forward, right? It moved me forward. And it wasn't the money that showed me what my research was. It was going through basic training. It was meeting these people and really had to problem solve, right? Being a part of a team. And all these things, right? It showed me like, oh man, deep down in your heart, you are very, very passionate. And it was just misdirected. Like you really want to help people. And you really know that you're very a smart guy. You're an intelligent person. So use that. Use your heart, your mind, and redirect where your energy is going. And make it positive, right? Impact people in a positive way. Like you told God you was going to be a servant, and here you go. You have it. It's not about the money, right? Money is a vehicle to do what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. That's now how I look at it.
What do you think in you made the difference? Because a lot of people at 17, when they are going down the wrong road, it's mm-hmm. easier just to continue down that road, even though right. they know it's the wrong road, yeah, you know, and it's sure. like, but this is just easier. This, you know, I'm a poor kid. I don't have resources. I'm just going to live out this path. So what in Javon said, no, I'm not going to stay down this road. I'm going to find what's better and serve others.
Right. Because I realized I have value. Right. So many people, when they go down this path, like no matter what, you get, you know, something happens to you in the street. You get locked up for a little bit, whatever it is. You still don't realize that you have value. Now you think you're even worth less. Right. You're like, oh, now I got a record. Now what I'm going to do? You know, they won't accept a felon. And it's hard to get a job. Right. And if I get a job, by the time the taxes are taken out, I'm making way less than I would make in these streets. Right. So it's a lot of things that go through your mind. But you have to really decide, like, which struggle do I want? And that's what I really had to think about. Like, which struggle do I want? Do I want the struggle where, you know, I may not make it to 25 because I'm locked up or dead? Right. Or do I want the struggle where I have a chance every day to like, all I need is one. All I need is one shot. And I had to realize that I didn't need to wait for opportunities to be given to me. Right. I had to find out and create my own. And it was going to be hard. Right. It's going to be hard when you're coming from that mindset, because you only know scarcity. You only know lack. Right. But you have to see that there's another side of that. You have to see that there's a side where if you continue to grind, and you continue to hustle, and then you find out what really is your purpose. Like that thing is powerful, right? And so many people, they just never go on that journey because, again, they don't know that there's something else. They don't know it's more for them out there. Right. And there's a ton of examples of people who found that. Right. And I always tell people, like when I speak to kids who's struggling, I'm like, just look at some of the people you think about. Right. Some of the people you idolize, probably like the Jay-Z's, you know, the people you see on TV who made it from wherever they were. And then now you see them in front of they're making millions and they're living a life, right, serving in their own way. So that's a constant reminder. And you just sometimes for these kids, you just have to find something that they can relate to get them to change and get that light bulb turned on.
Why do you think it's easier for people to maintain that victim mentality almost and say, you know, this is just what it is and I can't do any better? Do you think it is that place of feeling like they don't have value?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's sometimes it's all you know, right? That feeling of lack and that feeling of pain and that feeling of like, man, I'm just oppressed and nothing's going to change, right? It's tiring, right? Sometimes you're just so tired. You don't feel like you have the strength to try anything different. You're like, I've been struggling my whole life. When did things ease up? All right. Well, change is difficult. All right. And I always tell people, like, change is going to happen whether you want it to or not. So which change do you want? Do you want to change for the better? Or while the life, you know, while you thinking you're staying the same, you're really changing for worse. So which one do you want? So that opens a lot of people's eyes because they realize, like, man, I'm sitting here, I'm wasting time. I'm wasting days. I'm out on the corner, out in the app, you know, doing these things. And I always tell them, like, think about how much money you make doing this versus the risk versus the reward, right? Because a lot of times you don't think about the risk. You only think about the reward. And for you, when you're in that environment, whatever you're doing, you're like, oh, if I'm working this dead-end job, you know, at least I have something, right? I have security. If I'm hustling and I'm out in the street, at least I have the money I'm making from selling these drugs, whatever it is, right? But if I go out and try something else, I might not have anything, right? And that's really the battle that you have. It's a false sense of security that is created because you're getting a couple dollars, right? So I'll tell them, like, you can do these things. You know, you can decide, you know, whether or not you want to scrounge up and scrap for the risk that you're taking now, or you can decide whether you're going to scrounge up, scratch and fight and claw your way up to a life where you don't have to do those things anymore, you know? And that's the difference. That's the divide. It's just hard to think about sometimes. It's a hard concept.
It really is. I think, you know, that's the same thing that we see in survivors a lot of times before they leave, whether it's a domestic violence relationship or, you know, another just unhealthy situation, is it's easier to stay in that bad situation because it's the situation that they know.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. 100%, Claudia. You know it. You know what to expect. You know the struggles, right?
Right. Right.
But you really don't know it, right? That's the thing. Because, you know, if it was that bad, right, where they hit you or whatever, in this case of domestic violence survivors, right, who's to say it won't get so bad where they end up killing you, right? And it's the same thing for people who are going through the struggle of living those impoverished lives. Right? It's like, who's to say that that won't end up killing you, right? I mean, you have to think about that.
Yeah. That is a really good perspective. And it also boils down to the same root cause, I think, of feeling like you don't have worth and you don't have value. And that's why you stay in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful. When you tie your value to something external, you're always going to struggle.
Yes. Talk a little bit about that. I think a lot of people do that. And I mean, I have done it too. It's hard to get away from that. Yeah. But you know, we want to feel wanted, needed, valued by others. So right. Talk a little bit about the importance of not looking for external validation and finding it within.
Yeah. Oh man, it's paramount, right? That's when we think about esteem, it's self-esteem, right? Your worth is tied to how you view yourself, right? Not to your money, not to how many cars, not to how many followers you have on social media, right? And not to what people are telling you. And that's a hard concept to grasp, because as humans, we're social creatures, right? We need that group, right? And when someone says, man, you aren't worth a damn, you know, that really hurts. Mm-hmm. Really, you don't even have to know the person, right? We see it all the time, cyberbullying and trolling and all that other stuff, right? So you have to do the work to say, man, I'm worth everything I want. You know, when you hear affirmations, that's really what that's about, right? Reaffirming that you are everything you thought you were, right? When you think about, you know, doing that work to say, I'm struggling with my self-doubt. I don't believe that I can. You know, really that negative language impacts you greatly when you're speaking to yourself. If you're telling yourself that you're not worth anything, then that's what it's going to be, because your perception is your reality, right? Mm-hmm. If you perceive yourself as nothing, then no matter what you have in this world, you're never going to be anything to you, which is really what counts, right? So we have to, as people, we have to be very conscious of that. Realize what you're saying in your mind to yourself. You know, realize the actions and how that's being conveyed externally, right? A lot of us, you know, maybe we look down when we speak to people because we're not confident enough to look in their eyes. Maybe it feels a little weird. You got to realize why it feels weird. You know, why it feels weird to go for something you want. You know, all these different things. This is a lot of work you have to do on your own. You know, not on your own, but you have to get help, like therapy, coaching, all that other stuff. But you have to do it. You have to do the work. Like, as a coach, I can't go inside of your body and live as your spirit. Right. I can help you and I can give you exercises and go through these talks and stuff. But when it all boils down to it, you have to want that. You have to want that change. And so many of us say we do, but because it's become so hard, we don't really, you know, we rather stay who we are. Right. So perception is everything. That's why I separated it from mindset.
I completely agree with you. And I'm going to give a really, really basic, oversimplified example of that. So years and years, I sleep terribly. And if I wake up in the middle of the night or have to get up, I can't go back to sleep. Like, it could be 2 a.m, 4 a.m, whatever. And I lay there and I'm like, oh, I can't go back to sleep. Like, now I'm awake. So a couple nights ago, I laid back down and I was like, oh, well, like, I guess I'm up now. And I said, no, like, I'm telling myself that. So I am making it true. Yes. What if instead I say I can lay back down and go back to sleep peacefully and get some rest? And yes, that is exactly what I started doing. And so the last couple nights when, like, the dogs have woken me up or something else has happened, I have been able to go back to sleep.
I love that. I love that. And that's 100%, right? I had the same issue, right? And I had to do, like, cognitive behavioral therapy to change my relationship with sleep. And it sounds like the same thing. Like, instead of saying, I can't go back to sleep, this sucks, say, this is going to be the best sleep I ever had, right? And it really works, because your mind doesn't know the difference between what you visualize and what you're saying than in reality, right? And that's why that works. So talking to yourself positively and visualization is another tool that I utilize a lot. You have to see yourself doing it. If you see yourself, if you've never done something before, but you've seen yourself go through every step and you're very detailed about what happened and what environment you're in, it changes the game, because somehow you figure out how you do it. You've reverse engineered it enough where now when you go for that thing, like, you may not know every single step, but you're working towards it. And your mind is going to tell you, like, I've done this before. You know, I'm now an expert because I've done it 100 times in my mind before I even did it in reality. Right. So those are some of the things that you can do to change yourself from, you know, this person who's doubting or who's telling themselves, speaking to themselves negatively, and someone who's going out and getting what they want out of life.
Again, yeah, agree. Visualization is something that athletes use quite a bit. When I was a track runner, that sounds ridiculous, but when I ran track, it's really early, Javon. I would do exactly that, though. I would visualize the entire race and how I felt and, you know, at what point I was on the track and where I would pass people and all that stuff. Tell me some of the other tools that you use in coaching to really help people unlock that life that they don't need a vacation from. Don't give away any of your super trade secrets because we want people to come see you. But what are some of the things that you do?
Well, one, I don't really worry about giving away my secrets because the implementation is where I excel, right? But I really, you know, so one of the things I tell people to do is to plan, right? Get you a daily planner, whatever it is, right? I have, you know, I made a planner specifically for the people I coach, right, or work with. It's called the Own Your Kingdom Daily Planner, right? And in that, right, there you have like self-care, you have a block for self-care, and it's not a task list, right? It's a goal. You set like three goals. You're not setting a whole freaking list of things to do because a lot of those things don't even really matter. They just make you feel good because you're checking off a box. Mm-hmm. So I want my people to get really focused and be really intentional about how they're spending their time. A lot of us say we are busy, but we are not purposeful, right? We are waking up and something else is dictating our day, right? But instead of doing that, plan out the things that should be non-negotiable in your day, including self-care. Make a block just like you would at work where you set that meeting that's immovable, right? The only thing that can move it is a dire emergency. So plan your day on your calendar. Actually use a calendar, right? You can use whatever calendar on your phone or one on your desk, wherever it is. Write it down exactly what time and try to make it the same day, right? If it's self-care, try to make it the same day where you use that time for yourself, you journal, whatever the case may be. Right. Because when you have habits and you have repetition and you have a routine, now it's automatic and it's light. It's not taking any of your energy. Right. It's light. You're light about it. It's just like, oh, I know I'm doing this journaling today. Right. And when you do journal is another one. When you journal, write 1 through 10 in the top of your journal. Mm-hmm. And that's basically how good your day went or how bad it was. 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. And oftentimes, you know, one negative thing happens or one thing. It might not even be negative. It just didn't go how you wanted it to go. And it makes your whole day suck if it happened early, right? Mm-hmm. Or you forget all of the good things that happen throughout your day because of this one thing, right? So I want people to really look at their day holistically. You know, write down in your journal, like, what happened. However you speak to yourself, right? Don't be all formal. Just let it flow. Right. No, 4 scores in 7 years. No. at 10 o'clock, this happened. No, just write throughout, you know, write it and time it. And then I guarantee that'll let you see that your days really aren't as bad as you think they are. Right. Your days really probably went pretty well. They're probably on like the 6-7 at least scale if you do it honestly. Another thing I like people to do is create a self-contract and leave it somewhere, like leave in front of you where you see it. Write a contract to yourself that says exactly who you want to be, right? And write it as though you are that person. Like for me, I would say, you know, I, Javon Wooden, have designed a life I don't need a vacation from. I am living in abundance. I am pouring into others and other things and with my overflow. You know, I am rich. Not just in money, but I am rich in resources. I am rich in family. I am rich in love, right? So on and so forth, right? That's an example. I do that and be real. Like, don't be limiting yourself because a lot of times, for some reason, we feel like it's bad to have abundance, right? Like, that's a bad thing, right? Be real. Say exactly who you are, who you want to be. Like, don't be like, oh, nah, that's too much. Like, I'm going to have $1 million. That's too much. No. Stop limiting yourself. We have this, I call it the values and belief system. I call it the governor, right? That's our governor. If you think about machines and cars, they have a governor that controls and regulates their speed. Mm-hmm. Right? Your values and beliefs are that. So for you, So take some time out to really write out what matters to you and live life according to that. Not what you see on social media, not what someone else says matters, right? That none of the material things may not matter to you at all, but you're trying to get them just because subconsciously, like, you've been attracted to what you see in the media, mm-hmm. or someone told you that. So really write it out and think about it and use a scoring system, right? Like one through five. And then everything can't be a five. So you have to really make sure you're rating them right or correctly. Right. So just those are some of the things that I recommend people use.
And one of the things I have noticed throughout this conversation is the recurrence of the word self. So mm-hmm. self-esteem, self-care, self-contract.
Yes.
It really is about that inner work.
It is, Claudia. And you see in the work you do, right? If you don't have that knowledge of self and that belief of your worth, it is detrimental to everything that you do. It is going to destroy everything that you have if you do not believe that you are worth anything, right? You will not know that you are experiencing success because you never believed success was meant for you.
Mm-hmm. So true. Let's talk a little bit about yourself. So I know that some of the things you do to kind of relax or unwind, you're into music, sports. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what you do for yourself to stay on an even keel, take care of your mind, take care of your body.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things is exercise. I love exercise. And even though I've had some injuries, I don't let that stop me. Every day I wake up, I do some sort of exercise. It could just be stretching, right? It could just be walking. And, you know, sometimes I get frustrated because I know what I used to be able to do. Mm-hmm. But then I have to bring myself back and say, at least I'm able to do something. I am doing something, right, to better myself, and I have to give myself that grace. So that's the point I want to make to you, to the listeners, is like, even though you're not doing exactly what you want to do, something is way better than doing nothing. You're still trying to move that much further towards your goal, right? Mm-hmm. Another thing I like to do is read all types of books. I love traveling. Love to travel. Mm-hmm. I recommend travel to everyone. Travel, mm-hmm. travel opens your mind, and it changes your perspectives. And it really, you know, a lot of times it makes you grateful for what you do have. You have to stop focusing on what you don't have and mm-hmm. really be grateful for what you do have, right? And another thing I do is I have a support system. I have a really strong support system. You know, when I was struggling, I didn't use them. I thought I was being a burden. You know, if I tell somebody something, I'd be like, man, they got their own problems. You know, I'm being a burden on them. All that stuff. That's a myth. That's not true. Right. So I tell, if I don't feel 100%, I tell someone. Right. It could be my sisters. It could be my lady. It could be anybody. Right. I'm going to tell them that I'm just not 100% or that I need help with something. Right. That's probably the biggest nugget that I could give, because we have to stop going through things alone, right? To take care of yourself truly, like I said earlier, we are social creatures, and you really need some people to hold you up when you feel like you're down, right? So just find somebody that you can trust to be vulnerable with. Vulnerability is the key to healing. You have to be vulnerable in some capacity to really get over whatever is hurting you. So definitely that. There's a ton more, but those are things that I want to present to the audience.
I love it. Where is your favorite place that you have ever traveled?
My favorite place. So I have different places for different things, but I will tell you, I just went to Egypt. And seeing the sunset over the Nile was like, man, it was like cleansing my spirit. I closed my eyes, and that's where I go back to now if I'm having like a day, right? If I'm having something struggle, I just close my eyes and go back there. We talked about visualization. Put yourself in a place that really made you happy if you're struggling, right? So that was a great place, seeing the pyramids and all the other stuff. And then another one of my favorites, I would have to say Curacao, because like the people are so cool, right? It's a chill island. Like all the houses are colorful. You got the flamingos just everywhere. Like it's just one of those places that has good energy, you know? So I recommend people, like, if they want to chill and just vibe out, that's a cool place to go.
I like the sound of that. I have never been there, so.
Yeah, check it out, Claudia.
I might have to do that, Javon. Let's do it. Talk to me a little bit real quick about vulnerability, because you mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, how important it is to be vulnerable to really heal and right. to express yourself. And I know that is hard for a lot of people. It's hard for me, even still. Mm-hmm. I'm much better at it. But particularly people who have experienced trauma do have difficulty with vulnerability. So talk a little bit about the importance of it and maybe what some people can do if they struggle.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things I want to point out is a lot of us are told that vulnerability is weakness, right? We think about what people can do if we're vulnerable and they can use it against us and all these other things. These are what if scenarios, of course, but vulnerability really is strength. And the reason why is because you cannot get out of your situation. You know, just you're in a hamster wheel if you're not vulnerable. You're going to be in that same circumstances. And even if you get out a little bit, it brings you right back because you're not fully opening up your possibilities without being vulnerable. I always say it leads to serendipity. You know, serendipity is allowing good things to occur that would not have occurred otherwise if you had a closed mind. Right. So when you talk about trauma, right, you have to be vulnerable enough to get the help for trauma. Right. You got to be able to tell the therapist wholly and hopefully what is going on so they can dictate, you know, okay, maybe it's depression. Maybe this will help in certain exercises, right? You have to be vulnerable in your relationships, right? When you communicate, when you think about communication, a lot of us can't open up because we're guarded because of that what if scenario of what if they, I no longer have this person in my life and they use it against me. Stop thinking like that. Why are you thinking about the negatives of the what ifs of this relationship ending right now? Right. So we have to, and you can start small. You don't have to just tell someone your whole life story about what's impacting you right away. You can start small by vulnerability. Could be as simple as, you know, calling that recruiter that you've been wanting a job for. Right. Vulnerability could be as simple as asking someone for directions. Right. It could be anything. Like, vulnerability allows you to do those things. It allows you to recreate the curiosity that we had as kids. It allows you to tread a path that you may not have otherwise. Sit at the table with some people you may not have known if you didn't, right? So on and so forth. It's just really a way to create experiences, right? And open yourself up to opportunities that wouldn't have been there if you maintain that closed off feeling. So I would recommend you take it slow. Right. Identify just one person you want to start being vulnerable with. Right. For me, it was my sister. Right. Mm-hmm. My sisters, you know. So like identify those people that you trust that you just want to, you know, if you were holding on to something that you haven't told anyone, identify that person. Or you can go to a professional. Right. Someone who's unbiased, like a therapist, a coach, whoever. And you can tell them either way. Start. Right. Either way. Start. And then another thing is challenge yourself. Find something that you've been thinking about that's reoccurring in your mind that you just haven't done yet for whatever reason. Go do it. You know, go do it. If it's, you know, for a lot of people, they may fear public speaking or something like that. Go to Toastmasters, you know, mm-hmm. something like that. It doesn't have to be something where you feel like you could potentially harm yourself or get hurt or result in death or anything. It doesn't have to be that drastic. Right. Though that's, Start where you are, but also make sure you're moving towards where you want to be when you're doing this.
Talk a little bit about the difference between a coach and a therapist, because we've, mm-hmm. you know, we've talked about both of them and right. the importance of people in your life and professionals. So yes. When are people ready for a coach versus a therapist?
Sure. So a therapist really focuses on past stuff. And one, licensing and all that stuff. But outside of that, like they focus on the past stuff typically, and getting you from there to a place where you can perform at your highest levels, right? Maybe they're focusing on some traumas you've had, or maybe they're looking at what blocks you have and why you have those blocks, right? Which usually focuses on that past. A coach, on the other hand, at least this coach, because sad to say, like, there's a lot of coaches just popping up, you know, mm-hmm. probably shouldn't be popping up, right? Coaching is not a regulated field, right? Whereas therapy is. But a coach in the overall perspective is focusing on where you are now to where you're trying to get, right? And that's really the biggest difference. It's like, we don't really look at the past. It may, unless it comes into play, unless you absolutely have to do that, right? And we're not going to diagnose you with any mental illnesses. We're not going to give you prescriptions for anything. We're not going to try to help you overcome, you know, that trauma like that, right? We'll redirect you back to that therapist, right? But we will say, okay, here's what your limiting beliefs are. You know, here's what really are your hangups, and here's your action plan to get you to where you're trying to go, right? And that's what the difference is.
Love it. Give me your best piece of wellness advice for the general masses.
The best piece of wellness advice for general masses, I would say it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, right? Really speak to yourself in a positive way to show yourself that you are capable and it is possible, and that you deserve whatever, you know, abundant thing comes to your mind.
Talk to me about relationships. What is your biggest piece of relationship advice that you would throw out there?
Yeah, be you. Be authentic. That's the biggest thing, right? Don't worry about that representative you want to put out there. Be you.
And that's an easy piece of advice to take, right?
Yeah, or no, because a lot of people struggle with that, right? You know, a lot of people struggle with that. Again, they're not confident in who they truly are, mm-hmm. right? So they put out this representative of someone that they want it to be, or they want this person to perceive them as. Nah, just be you. You'd be surprised that, you know, what opens up and what transpires when you just be yourself, you know?
It makes things a lot easier.
It does.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it does. Because I'll forget, man. I'll forget. Like, if I'm not me, I'll forget what I said. I'll forget all that stuff. So I have to be me, regardless. So it works. It works. So anyone who has felt like they've been struggling with that, like being who they are, try it out. Try it out and see what happens, and let Claudia know. Put it in the comments on the podcast. We want to know.
Yes, we want to hear about it. Javon, we have talked about some really amazing stuff, I got to say. We're going to roll into something a little bit lighter. We talked about it earlier, and it's getting chilly here. It's starting to snow, so I have on long sleeves today. But I love tattoos. The audience knows I love tattoos. I have a bunch of tattoos. I'm planning like my next two or three.
Oh, wow.
There's always another one. There's always another one, Javon.
Yeah.
So talk to me about your favorite tattoo that you have.
So I only have one now. And that's
your favorite.
That is my favorite. That's my one guy. And I got it when I actually, after basic training, when I went to my AIT, or my training I was telling you about earlier, I got it then in Augusta, Georgia. And it's a lion, like portrait style, with some tribal around it, right, on my left shoulder. And I got it because that's how I was feeling, right? I told you the military opened my eyes to things. So I was feeling like a lion. I still do. So it's like portrait style because I wanted it to look like it was at me, like I was looking in the mirror, mm-hmm. right? So that's why I got that one. And I want to get more. I want to get like a whole sleeve of like different animals and stuff like that, mm-hmm. And wrap around on my back, because each animal to me represents something different. That's the story right there. My granddad was a Blackfeet Indian, and, you know, in that tribe, in that world, like each animal represents something different.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is a wolf, right? Because I just think they're so majestic. So that one's going to be like on my bicep or something where you can see.
Okay.
Right. So that's my story with tattoos.
I like it. And I like that there's tattoos to come, because a lot of people that I talk with on here, you know, they tell me all about their tattoos and then they're like, oh, but yeah, like I'd rather do this or I gotta do this. And I'm like, oh, can't we get more tattoos? So,
yeah. Tattoos are a great way to express yourself, man. It's great. Like, you know,
that's for me, that's exactly what it is. Like everything that I have kind of tells a little piece of my story. So that's kind of how I look at it as well. Talk a little bit about your book.
Okay. Well, wait. I want to know about the next two tattoos you have.
Okay. I mean, if you must. So one of them is going to be right here. So I have a Hanya mask here on my arm. Are you familiar with those?
No, tell me about this.
So a Hanya mask is an ancient Japanese theater mask. So it is the masks that they wore, you know, hundreds of years ago when they would do theater. And it also is supposed to ward off evil spirits. So it is a protector mask. I also like it because, you know, a lot of times people that go through trauma feel like a lot of their life they are wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. They're being somebody else. They're pretending to be happy, whatever it is. So now I don't have to wear my mask. My mask is here now. And now it's warding off those evil spirits. So I'm going to continue a little bit. And here I'm going to get, it's got some amaryllis flowers. I'm going to continue those down and maybe do some geometrics on there. I'm very last minute sometimes on the bigger pieces where like the day before I'll be like, that is what I want. And then I'll email the artist and he probably rolls his eyes and is like, wow, thanks for changing it up 5 minutes ahead of time. The other one is going to be a tiny one. So I'm going to visit a friend of mine in Nashville and we have traveled a lot together. Speaking of travel. So we're going to get a little tattoo. And I think what it's going to be is a little palm tree because a lot of the places we traveled were like Charleston and Miami. So, you know, beachy type places. And we had this incident once with peanut butter pretzels where we may or may not have spilled them onto a parking lot, but they were so delicious that we may or may not have eaten some. We tried to avoid the ones directly touching the asphalt, mostly. They were so good, Javon.
That's hilarious.
They were so good. And we were at a hotel parking lot. So I'm sure there were people looking out like, what are these two?
They probably were like, they got the munchies. They have to have the munchies.
Right. So that's going to be a part of it. And then I'm realizing now a lot of our experiences also revolved around food because one Valentine's Day, we were together. And her boyfriend at the time sent these amazing white chocolate covered Oreos with like little sayings on them, like candy hearts. They were so good. And I would love to find them again. But we don't want to reach out to him because he's long gone. So the palm tree with a little candy heart and then salty on the heart for the pretzel.
That's awesome. Talk about meaningful. You know, that is awesome. And it's so comedic. You know, you have like some lightheartedness in there. That's pretty cool.
Right. So I will keep you posted. That one's coming together way more quickly than my next one.
Yeah, I got to see a picture of that one. That's pretty cool.
Yes, I will send you one from Nashville for sure.
Deal.
So now that you know my story of eating pretzels off a parking lot, let's move on from me. Now you can tell us about your book.
Okay. So here's my book. It's called Own Your Kingdom, How to Control Your Mindset So You Can Control Your Destiny. And this book is a guide. This isn't a book that you just read and toss to the side or put on your bookshelf, right? This is a book that you keep referring to. There's a workbook that I created that goes along with it with probably 100 exercises, right, in it. right? Because I want people, when they read it, there's prompts that tells you like, hey, use this exercise at this point. So I want them to actually do the exercises with this book to really get out of it what it's determined to give, right? So that's it in a nutshell. It's about, it covers vulnerability. We talked about vulnerability. It starts off talking about forgiving yourself, though, right? Because you can't move forward if you never forgive yourself. So that's the most important part. And it provides an action plan for lasting success. So pick it up. If you haven't gotten it already, you can get it at my website, livenotloathe.com/OYK book.
Nice. I will definitely be picking one up. So thank you for sharing where we can grab that. Your website is amazing too, by the way. Yeah, very, very uplifting. You know, there's a lot there, but a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah.
So is that the best place for people to find you, is your website, or where else, if people want, whether they want your coaching or they just want to get to know Javon a little bit better, where can they find you?
Catch me on social media. You can go Instagram, Facebook, whatever. You type Live Not Loathe, right? Of course, on Instagram, it's all one word, right? Live Not Loathe. Also on Twitter, same thing. But I have Facebook. I have YouTube. I'm on Clubhouse, right? I don't use it that much, but I'm on there. But just type in Live Not Loathe and you'll find me. The website is definitely, you can see all my coaching programs and everything up there. If you want to join my newsletter, I do provide daily tips on how to become your best self and design the life you don't need a vacation from. So I definitely recommend everyone join the newsletter at livenotloathe.com.
I agree with that recommendation. And we will put that on the screen as well for everybody. Javon, thank you so much for your time today. I truly appreciate you sharing so much positivity and making me be vulnerable and share my peanut butter pretzel story, which I'm sure I will regret.
We love that.
But now it's going to be out there. So
we love it.
This is me. Javon, thank you so much. I truly appreciate you. You have been absolutely amazing.
And thank you, Claudia. It's been an honor and a pleasure. And I hope we can do this again. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in. It's been an honor and a pleasure. Much love and success.
I really hope you guys enjoyed my conversation with Javon as much as I did. I truly appreciate his focus on taking care of yourself, loving yourself, finding your worth, and also understanding the importance of vulnerability in maintaining happiness. So remember, until next week, you are strong enough and you are worth it. Thank you for listening to the Strong Enough Podcast. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform by searching Strong Enough. And on YouTube, we're available on the Spear Talk channel. If you have suggestions for an upcoming episode or a future guest, please reach out at strongenoughpod@gmail.com. Remember, you are worth it.